That is a good way of thinking of what Christmas means and how it should be celebrated. Just want to let you know, on 13th next Saturday, we have a special Christmas caroling program. So you haven't signed up, plan to sign up, I think that would be good. We should see about 500 people for this function. So you might want to just sign up, especially if you are a senior citizen, pioneer generation. We use the word pioneer generation to describe not so much Singaporeans, but those who are in that age bracket. Okay, and we'd just like to remember you. We used to think, you know, 80 and above becomes, then we realized not everybody makes it to 80. So we brought it down to maybe let's look at 70 and above. Again here, there's quite a 3 score, you know, years and 10. It's really quite a long, full life. So we brought it down to 65. So if you are 65, we'll be very, very happy to present just a little Christmas gift to you on this occasion. So sign up if you can. That would be great. Well, this morning, let's pray together and ask the Lord to open our understanding as to how to relate to God. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to understand what it means to have a special relationship with you. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and later on when we partake of the Lord's table, our hearts would be even more challenged and appreciative of a relationship that we can have with you. We ask you to open our understanding and to bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, which we are going to take a look at, and in order to understand what it means to relate to God here, you want to take a look at chapter 30. And in chapter 30, we see a very despondent, despairing nation of Judah, and they were in serious trouble. The land was going to be overrun by enemies. So in chapter 30, thus says the Lord, verse 5, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask now, a very startling statement, and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. Of course, the answer is no. So then the question was, why do I see every man with his hand on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? That was the degree of fear that the people had. They were in fear, they were in pain. It was almost like a woman delivering. Alas, for that day is great. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. And this was a reference to the tribulation period that Judah was going to experience. And the Lord tries to help them to understand. Verse 10, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord. Don't be dismayed, O Israel. I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. And so the Lord said, I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Okay? The people felt that what they were going through was painful. Your affliction is incurable. Wound is severe. Verse 15, why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable. Because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased, I have done these things to you. And this was the state of Israel, or Judah at this point of time, with reference to God, and it was a very, very painful time. But there was a promise in 30 verse 22, when the Lord said, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." In chapter 31, verse 1, the Lord said, "I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." I don't know whether we ever will get a chance to feel what God is saying in His fullness here. What does it mean when He says, "I will be your God, you will be my people"? And it's sometimes hard to imagine what this means. Well, I'm going to try this morning one part of it. You see, it is a relationship. For sometimes we talk about relationship, God and His people relationship. Sometimes it's very hard to imagine. So this is God. He is our God. We are His people. What does that really mean? And Israel, Judah, generally speaking, just failed to understand its relationship with God. Somehow they just couldn't connect. You are God, we are your people, and that relationship idea just doesn't work. They just can't figure it out. And I think a lot of people can't figure that out, relationship. So God said He's going to explain further. Let's take a look in verse 9, chapter 31 now. "They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way in which they shall not stumble." And then He says, "For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." So this morning we're going to try to think of a father-God relationship with His people. Maybe that becomes a little bit easier to understand. What does it mean for God to say to His people, "I am a father to Israel"? Is that easier? "Ephraim is my firstborn." Of course, Reuben was the firstborn, not Ephraim. In fact, Ephraim was not even a son. He was actually a grandson of Jacob. And yet God said, "Ephraim is my firstborn." And it tells us a lot about God's relationship with us. I'm going to try to summarize it a little bit. Once a person becomes a father, that relationship with a child is established. It will be a forever kind of relationship between father and children. And you know, no matter what, Israel may have gone astray, God will still be father to the nation. It may be chastised, it may be disciplined, it may not have faith, they may not understand or appreciate all that God was doing. Nevertheless, that father relationship is established. I am a father to Israel. Now that is a very, very powerful statement. What does it mean? Well, let's look at the context of Jeremiah 31 and we'll see this. 31 and verse 2. For example, "The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness." Well, that's the word here. Found grace in the wilderness. And every time we see God giving to us the things that we see, you know, when you look at a wilderness, you don't think of grace in the wilderness. When you see the sword, you don't see grace very much unless you are a survivor. You know, when we think of life and how we survive life at all, think of God's grace. You know, sometimes you read the obituary, and I'm one of those people who read obituaries. Not for any reason. You just never know whom you will find, whose name's there. And the obituary, sometimes you see younger people, they died. And they died at 50-something, they died at 60. And, you know, those who are in that region, and then you begin to realize that, wow, this is truly the grace of God given to us. It's something that we don't want to take for granted. And I think these last few days have been a little bit challenging for me. I don't know what I picked up, but I probably picked up a bug somewhere, and I went to see my cardiologist. And he was quite alarmed, and he said, your blood pressure has gone up quite a bit. So he measured with his stethoscope and listened to the heartbeat, and he said, it's very high. So he got his nurse to come in, bring another machine to check me out. And he says, it's really, really quite high. So he said, I'm going to give you a double dose of what people take to bring your blood pressure down. The last few days, blood pressure have been on the high side. Last night, I measured it at 168.95. And that's high. And so this morning, I measured again. It came down a little bit. 150-something, 90-something. You know, you think of the word grace in a wilderness. I've been through a lot. I've gone through several operations, and I've survived everyone. And you look at it, and you cannot but see this is God's grace. This is God's grace as a father to a child. It is something that is really challenging to appreciate as you look at the whole idea of grace. This coming week at Youth Conference is going to be another very, very, very challenging week. Challenging because of time, of the amount of energy, and everything else is going to be there. And I needed to find my peace within my heart. There will be grace somewhere, somehow. How wonderful it is to know that this is God saying to us, relating to us, this is my grace in the wilderness. And then the Lord went on further to say, listen, you found grace in the wilderness when I went to give him rest. And one, when I am not well, I usually don't talk a lot. I don't talk very much. I talk even less. What happens if this is part of God's way of giving us the rest that we need? This whole week has been a week of looking at the teaching scripts for all our Bible study leaders. And I've gone through every single script, all the chairing groups. And so I've had to get up earlier and then trying to understand it all. Just thankful for whatever rest I can find. And then relating it back to God again. And the way he relates. And I'm just really, really thankful that we can find this whole idea of grace and rest. And then, of course, in chapter 31, in verse 3, it is something that you catch, you know, you can appreciate a lot more. The Lord has appeared of old to me, verse 3, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Sometimes it is easy to think that, you know, what happens if I have a heart attack? What happens if I have a stroke? And it's so real. It's something which you almost fear. And then you look at it, and the Lord promises us a relationship of an everlasting love. And then you begin to realize this is what it means. For God to love us, for God to relate to us as a father to us. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, I wonder how many of you can say, you know, I have a great father relationship with my father. Maybe not everybody would be able to raise their hands up. But this is what God said to Israel. I am a father to Israel. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about what it means for us to be given a love like this as only a father can give. So I understand 15 years of some battles along the way. That's how he got trained and got promoted to become general. Battlefields at home. Battlefields, you know, prepares him to, I'm going to be a good general there. But seriously, if you think about it, a relationship between a father and a son is quite different from that of a husband to a wife. A husband and a wife can split. You can go your way, I go mine. And that's over. But there is a relationship that a father has with his child, and that can never be severed. There may be misunderstandings, there may be difficulties, but a father's love for a son is so full and complete. Absolutely. It's difficult to understand this, no matter what. Distance doesn't hurt the relationship. Time does not hurt the relationship. It is just a very strong and vibrant relationship throughout. And this is what God said to Israel. I am a father to Israel. And I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's a relationship between God and us. Okay, went on further to talk about how it will be with loving kindness I have drawn you. God's relationship with his people is always with a sense of loving kindness. You know, sometimes people fear that, some people never come to know God unless they go through hard times. But you know, it is just as true to say that we can be drawn to God because of his loving kindness and not necessarily hard times. If we have to wait for hard times to come to us and then we turn to God, we miss so much. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be a relationship of tremendous loving kindness between a father and his son. But this was a relationship that God established. And so Ephraim was chosen as a name that God would give as my firstborn. I think firstborns always have a little bit of an advantage because they are there ahead of time. So that's how it is. I have two grandchildren. One is called Madeline. We call her Maddie. And the other one is called Evelyn, and we call her Evie. Now, automatically, because of the fact that the older one was 2 years ahead, there is a special relationship established with her, like a firstborn. Okay, so think about it. It's like a firstborn. And my link with her, it's very, very deep and very, very special. But of course, she's now 5 years old, 3.5 feet tall, and still wants to be carried by Kong Kong. I don't see her going to ask her father or the mother to carry her, because they won't. But when it comes to Kong Kong, I will always carry her. So I ask her, when you are five, you want me to carry you? And she said, yes. How about when you're six? Well, probably not. Arms will probably break by then. But you know, there's a special bond of relationship. One where there is love, where it's really... Ephraim was grandson. And yet, it was firstborn. Why? Because of a relationship that is understood as love. 31 verse 4, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt.
You shall again be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. And this is God's commitment to adorn with joy, to adorn his people with a special sense of joy. 31:8. And God said, even though they were in the north country, from the ends of the earth, among them the blind, the lame, the woman with child, the one who labors with child, together a great throng shall return there. And this was God's promise. If the nation were to sin against God, it will be chastised, but never a complete end will be made of them. He will always bring them back. Now, this doesn't really happen in most families. Husbands and wives can go so far away, there is no relationship. But not with a father and a child. And so God's promise to Israel was that he will bring them back from wherever they may be. No matter how far they are scattered and all, it would be that God will reach out to them and draw them back. But what happened if they are blind, if they are sick, or it doesn't matter. You just care for the person. And I think sometimes I see this in India, and I think that's really moving. Once I was in India, and there was, I saw a man carrying a boy. This boy was quite old, was really quite tall, or long anyway. And then the father couldn't afford a taxi, couldn't afford some kind of carriage, and he literally carried this boy on the street. And with great energy, with great effort, he carried this boy. That's a father caring for a son. And he will always be there. You know, this is what we ought to really look at. We have this kind of relationship with God. We don't have to get into problems and difficulties before God comes to us. We can enjoy the fullness of that relationship. Okay? And this was something that was hinted at. 31 verse 6. There shall be a day. This was looking forward into the future. There shall be a day when a watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim. And they will say these words, arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. There will come a day when there will be an understanding of this relationship and there is a desire to worship God. Verse 7, thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob. Shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise. Say, O Lord, save your people. Two thoughts here. One, we will sing and praise his name. Two, we will pray. And this is a relationship that we can establish with God as Father. We will determine to worship him. We will determine to sing praises to him. We will determine to relate to him in prayer. This is my word to all who came for the pre-youth conference special yesterday. Let's really pray. Let's pray for people to understand God, to develop a relationship with God, to really have this kind of response. Even if we don't have an earthly father who relates to us like this, we can have a heavenly father who loves us in this way. How wonderful it is to know God in this special manner and can relate to him so wonderfully. Think about this. Okay, well, let's prepare our hearts for communion now. Let's ask the Lord to bless us before we go from here. And now may this great God bless us truly with an understanding of what it means to be loved with an everlasting love. To have understanding of what it means for Him to relate to us as our God. We are His people and a Father to us all. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose death we commemorate this morning, touch our hearts once again and enable us to learn how to relate to Him. And may the Spirit of God enable us to go deeper in our faith, in our understanding. And we ask that this blessing will extend to all who are coming for the youth conference beginning tonight. We pray that all glory will ever be that of the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.